Welcome to Myrtle Moms with Margaritas, the show where we sip cool drinks, talk about hot topics, and certainly don't take ourselves too seriously. Grab your favorite beverage, give your kids the iPads, and take a break, because this episode we are talking all about a very hot topic, the importance of proper medical coverage in all categories of sports. I'm Jen, Colton and Nolan's mom.
I'm Shannon, Gabriel and Grayson's mom, and I'm actually going to turn it back over to Jen to introduce our guest speaker because Jen has known him for a while.
I have, a good friend of mine. We've worked together years in the past and reconnecting now to talk about this subject. But today's guest is Jeff Bodenhammer. He is a native of Archdale, North Carolina, graduated from Greensboro College in Greensboro, North Carolina. Jeff is an experienced athletic trainer who has worked at the professional level, the college level, and currently at the high school level. His resume includes Clemson baseball, Newberry College, the Atlanta Braves in the Gulf Coast League, the Texas Rangers, where I knew him from when he worked with the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, the Milwaukee Brewers, and currently he is with Prism Health in Columbia, South Carolina, with his main coverage being Blythewood High School in Lexington County, Blowfish. That's a resume.
That's a resume.
Do you have a favorite that you've worked for?
Yeah, exactly.
Myrtle Beach, of course.
Yes. That was a good one.
That was 3 good years.
That's true.
That is true. Well, I have to just first start off because Jen kept saying, so we're going to have NASCAR on. I'm like, NASCAR. Okay. So your nickname is NASCAR. How did we get that?
No, my first year with the Rangers, they were trying to come up with a nickname for me. I don't know why. And there was a few that floated around. There was a vote, and our coordinator at the time, he started calling me NASCAR. And I was like, what's this NASCAR stuff? He goes, if I would go to Talladega and I'm walking into the stadium or into the racetrack, I think I would see you there. So,
I thought it might be you're just like really fast or you love to drive. You have that lead foot or something.
Well,
no,
I do have a racing background growing up.
Okay.
With my father and where I worked in high school and college. I did work at a race engine parts shop in Thomasville, North Carolina. So I do have that background. So yeah, that's how I got the nickname. So it stuck. It's floated around pretty good. A lot of people now that I work with don't know that. So
yeah, I was gonna say you're literally in my phone as NASCAR.
Yes.
So all right, we're gonna jump right into this because this is one that Shannon and I have talked about offline.
Yes.
And it's something that I think is really a hot topic right now. We've all seen the famous video clip now of the Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin collapsing on field. Immediately struck fear into me, and
yes.
I'm sure parents and everyone alike had the same fear. You know, it's certainly an anomaly of what happened to him, but it makes me question, is it safe to encourage our boys and girls to play football in the future?
Or really any sports, honestly. Yeah. I mean, this is scary.
I think sports is great. I think it teaches you a lot of different social skills,
mm-hmm.
which is something that we need now. I think coming out of the COVID stuff, the social skills are something that we're going to have to redevelop, especially for the younger kids who didn't, who were shut down for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm,
I know,
yeah.
Like my daughter had to go through kindergarten, which should be probably your most enjoyable year of school. She had to do that online. So the biggest thing I think with the sports is integrating them in at the right age, at the right time, into the right sport.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're talking a lot about football, but they need to be introduced to different things. I hate to look on social media and seeing a kid that's 9 or 10 years old just playing one sport all year round.
Yeah.
Like either it's basketball, baseball. Some of them do football year round too, but you got to find different niches. We got a couple of kids at the high school that play multiple sports, and we're at a 5A high school. You don't see that a whole lot,
yeah.
But we got, I want to say, 3 basketball players on the varsity that play football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
We got probably about 4 that play football and baseball, some soccer. Our soccer guys usually kick for us, but you know that you got to have that integration of different athletic adventures out there, uh-huh. it makes you more well-rounded. I know we got some of our soccer girls running cross country, you know, run track. One of them will play a soccer game on Tuesday and then go to the track meet on Wednesday and run distance. I don't know how she does it, but she does.
It's impressive.
It is impressive.
You know what? It keeps them out of trouble, too.
That is the truth.
You don't have time to get into trouble. Uh-huh. Were you watching the game live? Yeah. Or did you, like, see it and you turned it on?
I was not. I'd gotten home. I got fix something to eat, sat down, turned on the TV, and I saw the game was delayed, and I'm like, is there weather? Mm-hmm. And because they hadn't said anything yet when they were coming back from the commercial, and I saw it, and then they were talking about it, and one of my former coworkers, he's a huge Cincinnati Bengals fan, mm-hmm. so I text him, I was like, what happened? Because I figured he was definitely watching the game and had knowledge, and he mentioned a player with the Brewers that we had a very similar situation with, where he got hit with a fastball in the chest and ended up having a very similar situation.
Wow.
He's still alive. He's in Venezuela. They had to revive him, I want to say 6-7 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a very scary and very traumatic event for us. And he was 18, 19 years old. So in those events, like, we still don't know exactly what happened with Hamlin. You know, we haven't got mm-hmm. the full medical report, which I don't know if we ever will, you know. But we need to learn from it, at least from my side, on the medical professional side. You want to, okay, what can we do different? How can we take care of our athletes better?
Yeah.
You know, what else can we do to prevent stuff from happening out there? So make sure your little leagues or your rec leagues, everything, have some kind of emergency action plan, or the person that is in charge, the supervisor there, knows what's going to happen if something goes on. They should, most places have them posted. So that way, if something does happen, ambulance has to get called. You know, everybody has a job to do and can get them in there and get everybody taken care of safely.
When it's also the side, too, of even helping the other players with coping.
Yeah.
So T. Higgins, I mean, I also felt extremely sorry for him, because I think deep down he's like, I was the last person he touched.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's so many different emotions that are going around.
And that's where we, as medical care providers, as an athletic trainer, we have to switch gears at times, like, okay. But we also got to take care of ourselves. I think that's
yes, for sure.
Yeah.
The young lady who was had to deal with it with the Brewers, I waited about 2 or 3 months post to talk to her, just to see, you know, I'd ask questions at times, just fill it out, kind of, you know, open-ended questions, see if she would mm-hmm. respond. And when we did, you know, she finally opened up about it. And then I asked her, I was like, did you ever talk to anybody? She goes, I did about a month later. Like, went and got okay. counseling and stuff to seek the professional help, which should happen. And as athletic trainers, I always think the crap that we deal with sometimes, it is good to every 6 weeks go talk to somebody and get yes. in there and help our mental health side. And that's also another hot topic button that we talk about now, is the mental health. And mm-hmm. even here at the high school now, we have, he's a former athlete of our AD, but he's in here. He does mental skills work with our players here. He opens his room up to each team. They do, like, these mental works. He's always there for them to talk to. You know, we're even developing that into the high school with the sports psychology type stuff.
I love that.
That is huge.
And he does a great job, and he's finishing up his doctorate right now. And he's a big asset to us that needs to be there, just like athletic trainers, strength coaches, mm-hmm. even nutrition now. I think nutrition has become mm-hmm. a big topic,
sure.
too,
mm-hmm.
that kids don't understand. I mean, we had a kid the other night that he hadn't ate all day. He's trying to wrestle a match. Yeah, and hadn't ate all day. I'm like, come on.
Was he trying to do a certain weigh-in, though?
No, he said no. So okay. And that's something that you do have to worry about. With
yeah,
that.
For sure. I mean, I'm assuming in the high school level, you're working across all platforms of sports. Concussions is one of those mm-hmm. pieces that's crossing all the sports levels. I mean, the NFL is a big proponent of placing policies that keep athletes safe, but is that trickling down to the other levels? And, you know, who makes those calls in the high school level of concussion protocols?
Us as athletic trainers, and here with Prisma, we have two doctors that will see concussions, but they get filled up. Now,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And what we do a SCAT form with them. You can go online and look that up, SCAT, S-C-A-T. And mm-hmm. it has protocols that you go through. You ask certain questions. You do the memory test. You try to evaluate them. And then we triage it from there. If it's a certain level, it's a certain number, okay, we're going to get you into the doctor tomorrow or, you know, within the next couple of days. If it's another level, okay, let's manage it here. We're going to get you symptom free for 24 hours, maybe even 48 hours, and then we'll move you into a return to play protocol. But there's sometimes that some of these concussions, they can hang around for a month.
Yeah.
Especially at this young age. You know, you got to make sure they're getting the right nutrition. They're staying off screen time. And that's usually one thing. Because when you get hit in the head, of course, your head's going to hurt. You know, you know, I'm not going to hold you out because your head hurts. Because that could also be a hydration issue. But once you start reading other symptoms in there, nausea is a big one for me. Sensitivity to light, noise is another big one for me. Once I see those, I know we're a little bit more significant than a little knock on the head or a bump on the head, as you used to call it. And you also have to know the history of these concussions. You know, once these things start adding up, you know, we got a couple of kids here who's had two in the past 12 months.
Now, is that just in football? Because, I mean, I can see this kind of across the board with many sports.
One of them plays multiple sports. So when you see that, you got to like, okay, we got to step back for a little bit. And that goes into also with football and any sport where you're wearing helmets, any safety equipment that you can wear. Make sure the equipment's up to date, you're there. And what happens, too, is you watch NFL and college, they try to wear the least amount of equipment they can.
Sure.
Like, they won't wear thigh pads, knee pads.
Or even mouthpieces.
mouthpieces, too. I saw somebody the other day, he's running in the end zone, and his mouthpiece is out. I'm like,
exactly.
I'm like, God, you need your mouthpiece in. If you get hit, that's a way you cause a concussion. That's another thing. Make sure your kids are wearing a properly fitted mouthpiece, especially at that younger age. The younger the kid, I get worried about the weight of the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see 6-7-year-olds running around with helmets on, and I know they're not strong enough.
And they're flopping all over the place.
They don't have the muscle strength yet to carry that out. Like I said earlier, you want to make sure the right time to move into certain sports or to move up a certain level. I know a lot of leagues are based off of age and everything, but sometimes you might have to shop around for a league where you can play down. Your son or daughter's not developed enough yet, play them down.
Well, it's interesting you say that because our city actually has football and tackle football at the starting age of 6. My youngest son plays flag football. He'll be 7 next week, but I know he's nowhere near at the age, or I don't know if his maturity, but it's really of the age of even being able to do tackle football, because right now all they want to do is wrestle anyway. So you're putting then helmets on them and having opportunities to hurt one another even worse, not meaning to, but they're just more roughhousing than actually playing the sport.
Like I said, the weight of that helmet on the head and neck is that's going to be the first thing to go into a tackle just because of the weight of it. That's their body's not able to control that yet. So that's something you got to weigh out, look into it. And I'm glad the city of Myrtle Beach still has a youth sports league.
Oh, we are so blessed.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that are breaking a lot of that up because they are going to the travel sports have taken over. And it stinks at times, too, because you need that camaraderie where you, even though you're playing against your buddy that you're going to go to school with or that you do go to school with, that's actually good because y'all are playing together. You're maybe on the opposite team right now, but, you know, in 5 or 6 years, you're going to be playing on the same team and developing into that.
Well, we actually have basketball and baseball in the city league also. And there's, of course, other sports. But this here, we are very, very fortunate to have such wonderful leagues with the city of Myrtle Beach. And they actually have 2 different locations that they provide sports for. So it's wonderful for our residents.
So this past fall, something that we did was bring in 20 coaches. We'll teach them CPR, and that's good for 2 years. So that's one thing we've really tried to reach out into the community to develop, you know, hey, because something happens, even if it's just a bloody nose at a practice, you want to be able to take care of that. But also knowing that they can do CPR or life-saving stuff is very important.
Yeah, that's an awesome benefit for sure.
Well, and that kind of goes into our next question of, since you are at that high school level, how do you communicate with the parents on how to keep our kids safe? Because, of course, some parents, they don't want to hear you need this and this because they think they know everything for their kids.
Do you encourage parents to come talk to you like, hey,
you know, my son was put in this protocol or concussion protocol, or he twisted his ankle. What can we be doing at home to help the development and all of that?
We have a very easy access to our doc. We have a team doctor. We can easily pick up a phone. We can bring mom, dad, whoever in and say, hey, do y'all want to go to the doctor? Do you want to give it 24 hours? And here again, it depends on the injury. Like where are we at? What, you know, we try to triage it because we don't want them just running to the ER, running to urgent care. And then we have to track everything down, all the paperwork and stuff, and go from there. But a lot of our kids who do have surgery go and use our physical therapy department. They're able to email myself or our head trainer here, and we communicate through that. A good example, yesterday we had a freshman lacrosse player come in. He was talking about both his heels hurting. We're sitting there, and I had to look this up because I was not familiar with it. It's called Sever's disease. It's with your growth plates in your heels. I had to look it up.
Okay.
He was smart enough. He was, you know, he's 14 years old, and he's running all this off on me. I'm like, okay. I was like, we're not practicing today. I was like, you've already thrown a red flag up. We're not practicing today. Have your mom come in. We sat and talked for 5 or 10 minutes about, hey, since we've had this, let's double check. You've been to the doctor for it. Let's just make sure we're not getting into this. He's a freshman. He's a young freshman. Let's make sure we're taking care of him, because I'd rather him have 3 really good years than be hurt all this year and then have to miss a sophomore year too if we push him out there.
Right.
You got to weigh that out. Sometimes parents don't listen. We had,
I'm sure.
Oh, I can see the arguments.
But I'm like, okay, let's give this 24 hours. Let's reconvene. I don't think anything's broke. Let's see what we got swelling wise, everything tomorrow. And then they'll leave and go to an urgent care. And you're like, now we got a bigger process. Sometimes, you know, if they listen to how we're going to process this through, it helps out, because we're going to do what's best for you and the kid. Like, we want to make sure the kid has the best care.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic trainers will not do that. They will not put a kid in jeopardy.
It's totally different from when I was in high school. I mean, you only had an athletic trainer at your football and every once in a while your boys' basketball. The rest of us were all fending
you're
for
on
ourselves.
Your own. I can't tell you how many times I was hurt or something. No one ever, no, that wasn't.
Well, I can remember one specific time, you know, my mom was my coach for field hockey and, you know, we were competing for state championships and I was a starter. So there was one day I got hurt in warmups and she didn't start me and I was okay with it. And we got down by a goal and she looked at me and we both made eye contact and I was like, all right, let's go. Let's do this.
Let's go. Exactly.
Hey. Like I told that mom last night, I was like, listen, if he's a senior, you know, we're going to do everything to get them out there. I don't want you to miss your senior season. So, and I've had to ask kids too, you want to play past high school? If they are, I got a different, you know, I have to have a different
approach,
mindset.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the big things that we have to do is we have to also plan ahead and work ahead and also tell the parents that, like, okay, this is what I'm thinking forward. Not just say in the moment, but I also, like, as soon as something happens, I have to start thinking, what's my next 3 steps and stay ahead of the game at that point in time. So when that happened with Hamlin, all those medical people knew exactly what they were going to have to do. That's why they had already planned that out. So even if it's an ankle sprain or if it's a concussion or a major cardiac event, we have a plan in our head moving forward on what we're doing. So,
all right, I have a personal-ish question. So in all your years of baseball, did you ever have a foul ball pop in the dugout and hit you and you were like, uh-oh, I have to give myself medical attention?
Oh, wow.
Actually, I have 2 times. I have video of both of them, actually. There was one that shot into our home dugout there on the first base side. I was saving, you remember Bama, Brian Dayette.
Mm-hmm.
I got my hand up in front of his face somehow. And it smacked off my hand, and we were all dunking, and somehow I saved his life. That's what I at least say to myself.
Absolutely.
That
you save everyone's life.
Yes.
Every day.
Every day.
But, yeah, that one. And then 1 year when I was in Carolina, we were in the dugout, and a ball, no shot, nobody moved. Nobody could have got out of the way of it, right off the elbow. We did a little treatment the next day, and I told the players, of course, if that would have hit one of y'all would be out for 2 weeks, but I'm still working the next day, so don't worry about me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think I had to come visit you one time. I got hit by a foul ball pretty good and was black and blue all over the arms, and I think
I was sent down to see you after the game to see if there was anything you could do for me.
I know fans don't like it at times, but in minor league baseball, they've required them to at least run netting to the end of the dugout. Because you don't know how many times you're sitting there and you're seeing people up in the stands on their phone, not paying attention, and balls are just ricocheting up through there. I remember we was in Myrtle one night, a lady got hit down by the end of the dugout, ball snuck around the end of the dugout. We had the EMTs came down, took care of her. We actually had to, in between innings, stop the game. They came and put her in the in the ambulance and took her off. So
we definitely appreciate you being the one that's helping taking care of everyone out there.
All right, let's bring it back full circle. So Wilhelmina says she wants to play football. You letting her do it?
Wilhelmina, I don't know if she's made for football. She's going to be more swimmer and volleyball-esque.
Okay.
She's going to be tall and lean. If she wanted to, at the right age, like I said earlier, if I felt comfortable with her going out there physically, I would let her go. I know me and her mom might discuss that, but I'd like to see her play some other sports prior to that.
Gotcha.
To see, you know, if she could play some soccer first or, you know, even lacrosse, you know.
If she's going to be tall, then do some basketball.
That's why I'm saying volleyball or swimming. She's into swimming right now, so hopefully.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's a great sport.
It's a lifelong sport.
That's the truth.
Like I said earlier, don't push them. They'll tell you when. You'll be able to see them. As a parent, encourage them to play in the backyard first before we put pads and helmets on. You know, see if they can throw, run, catch, move their body correctly. And here's another thing that happens. You know, you go from that 8, 10, 13-year-old area where the body just...
Changes.
Stinky and changing and, you know, growing so fast you can't keep up with clothes.
Exactly. And that's one thing I have to ask some of these younger kids that come in here. I'm like, how much have you grown over the summer? Or how much have you, you know, about 4 inches in the last, you know, 18 months? I'm like, your body's just not ready to move at that pace. That's, you know, when they say, I had to go get new shoes, I had to bump up a size and a half. I'm like, oh gracious. So, you know, like we had this kid on our B team football. He's probably wearing a size 12 shoe, but he's like 5'2".
Oh my goodness.
We got to keep working with this kid because this kid's going to be...
He's going to get tall.
He's going to end up growing a foot in high school probably.
Like, he's going to have that growth spurt over the summer.
he might come back next summer and be 5'8", you know. Mm-hmm. And so you got to keep working with those kids and understanding that the body doesn't move. There's nothing wrong with kid yoga. Like, get them involved in that. Get them moving. Get them stretching.
That's a good suggestion. Because I have an 8-year-old who, he's huge. He's 4'9". 4'10", I think. I can wear his shoes and he just continuously is growing. And unfortunately, with his growth, he hasn't really figured out the size that he is. And he's not big at what, by no means, but he is. He just continues to grow and grow and grow.
He's not going to be, like that. Soccer would be perfect for him because he's got to learn how to move his feet.
Yeah.
Every sport, you got to learn to move your feet. So soccer,
that's
basketball.
That's a good idea. I don't think he wants football whatsoever. I think we're going to focus. I like the idea of swimming also. But he might, talking to you, I would love for him to do what you're doing because he has that heart of gold, what you guys do of saving people and helping one, you know, all these athletes daily. I think that's something that would be a good job for him.
it's a very rewarding profession. I'm always trying to promote our profession and what we're trying to accomplish with parents and the kids and making sure everybody has a safe place to play and is taken care of.
Well, we definitely, once again, appreciate you coming on. We've had a lot of fun talking with you and just learning.
Insights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially us that have kids involved with some sports, something or another. And this is also just a great opportunity for kids that may not be interested in playing the sports, but once again, being a part of the team as you are. So really appreciate you coming on.
No problem. I've enjoyed it. And if y'all need me to come back, we can talk more in depth on some more stuff.
I want to learn more about the nutrition side. So maybe that's something that we can get you to come back on and help us with.
And if any of our listeners have questions, send them to us. And we can get them to NASCAR and he can help us answer them. So.
Yes. because he is very speedy.
He used to be a lot faster.
There you go. Do you want to give us your social media handles in case anybody would like to reach out to you directly?
On Twitter, I am BODE_ATC. And then also I have Instagram, which is just Bodenhammer Jeff is Instagram. And then also follow us at Prisma Health Sports Medicine. All one thing.
Well, once again, thank you, Jeff, for being our guest today. We do want to just say if anyone has any questions, suggestions, or feedback, email us at MyrtleMomsWithMargs@visitmyrtlebeach.com. That's MyrtleMomsWithMargs@visitmyrtlebeach.com.
And give us a like on Facebook and Instagram at MyrtleMomsWithMargs. Again, at MyrtleMomsWithMargs. But most yes. importantly, like and subscribe to our podcast on please. Any of the platforms you listen to. And then just give us a little 5-star rating. Please.
Yes.
I feel like I'm a 5-star guest, so we're trying to definitely hit that.
Yes. NASCAR himself.
All right, guys. Cheers to the weekend.
Cheers.
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is the beach. Here, you're free to be your best self because Myrtle Beach is 60 miles made for you. You belong at the beach.
Beach easy.